If you can't preach after that, there's no preach in you, no doubt about it. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 4. I know what you're thinking. I thought you were going to Matthew. Well, this is the parallel passage to it. And what I'm doing is I'm reversing where we're at in Matthew. I'm preaching our next passage in Matthew tonight, and I'm preaching the following passage this morning, so I'm flipping it, okay? And so this is the same account, just a different human penman of where we are at in the book of Matthew after we preach the message tonight. I hope I just didn't confuse you when I said that, all right? We're preaching through the book of Matthew, but I'm preaching out of the account that Mark gives of this same story here. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. Mark 4:35. Brother Kaiser taught us in homiletics class, putting sermons together and so on. He encouraged the young preacher boys to preach through books. And he said, when you preach through books, you'll be amazed that God has you right where you need to be. I cannot tell you how real God has been to me over the past week and a half. I've never gone through anything like this before. He's taking me to a different level, I believe. And I praise Him for it. These are not tears of sadness. They're tears of praise. Because God's been so good to me. And He has me right. If you don't need this, He has me right where I need to be. Not only this morning, but tonight. Both passages. It's amazing how the Lord works. Mark 4:35. I'll try to get through it. If I can't, somebody else come up here and preach it for me. All right. The same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. There were also with Him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Excuse me, I know that's kind of rude when you do that, but... And they awake Him, say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this? And even the wind and the sea obey Him. Now again, this is Mark's account, but this is where we're at. And I'm talking about for all day Sunday. This is where we're at in our study through the book of Matthew. I preached to you this morning on this topic, an unexpected storm. An unexpected storm. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Help us today. Give me strength to preach. Help me to get this out. And I pray that you manifest yourself through us, I pray. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now in this story, when you study it, you'll notice that the disciples were doing the will of God. They got on the ship because Jesus told them to get on the ship. But understand this morning that as they followed Him, a storm came. And this storm was an unexpected storm. In other words, they didn't know anything about it. Now the Lord knew about it, but they didn't know anything about it. The only thing that He told them was to get on this ship. We're going to the other side. But while they're on board that ship, a storm comes to them. Unexpectedly, just out of the blue, here it is. And I want to preach to you on that subject today. And I want to say this to you right off the bat. Following Christ will not prevent storms. Following Christ does not prevent storms. Now, you know what the message is tonight in the book of Matthew? Following Christ. It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing, honestly. And I'm telling you, here's what it is. Some people have the mistaken idea, and some people even preach that if you're right with God, you're going to be on a mountaintop when there's no storms, there's no doubt, there's no fear. That is not true. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell itself, friends. I'm telling you that these men were following Christ. They were obeying the Lord. They were living in obedience to the revealed will of God. And yet while they're in the will of God, an unexpected storm hit their boat. Now this message is so simple it's ridiculous. But you know I'm praying, and I've prayed this before, that the Lord, the longer I live, to make my preaching more simple and more simple and more simple and more simple. Let me tell you why I like that, because if you can understand it, you can get it. Amen. And one reason I'm so simple is because I can't get it too high anyway. You know what I mean? Physically or spiritually, I'll go ahead and say it. There's four things I want you to see about this unexpected storm. Unexpected storm. Number one, I want you to notice the storm with me. Look at verse number 37. The Bible says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And this is one of those messages that we're building, so just stay with me here. First thing we notice about this unexpected storm is we look at the storm itself. There's two things we learn about this particular unexpected storm in verse 37. First of all, under it, it was a big one. Because the Bible says in verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind. That word great there has the idea of big in size and strength. In other words, this wasn't a little storm, it was a huge one. You know what I've learned in my life? My storms may look small to you, but they're humongous to me, friends. And it's the same way in your life, too. If you're going through something, it may not look like much to somebody else, but it is big in your life. We see this storm was big, but number two, it was a beating one. Because the Bible says in verse 37, and the waves beat into the ship. This storm was taking its toll on the ship, in other words. It was pounding up against the ship. It was a big storm. It was a beating storm. I mean, it was huge, and it was wearing the ship down and wearing it out. Secondly, we notice the ship itself in verse number 37. So we have a big beating storm. Now let's notice the ship, verse number 37. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. There's two things about the ship that I want you to see. First of all, it was full. I mean, the Bible says right here, so that it was now full. You know what that means? It means the ship couldn't take anymore. You ever been there? You ever been in a, I'm talking about a storm, whether it's expected or not, typically it's unexpected. You ever been in an unexpected storm that was big and it was beating against you and it made you completely full to where you felt you couldn't take any more of it? But it wasn't just full. The Bible teaches in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, you don't need to turn to it. It was not only full, it was flooding. Because the Bible says in the account in Matthew, which is the book that we're preaching through, remember I told you whenever we come to something that the other Gospels preach on it, I'm going to give you the overall look of it. So I just happen to use this as my text, but I'm referring back to Matthew chapter 8. The Bible says the ship was covered. You know what that word covered means? It means engulfed. It means to be hidden. That means if you were up above the storm looking down, you couldn't see the ship. In other words, this storm was a big one. It was a beating one. This ship was full and it was flooding. It just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And the idea here is that if you were on board the ship and you looked in front of you or looked behind you or right or left or up or down, it was water. That's the only thing you saw. You know what happens in an unexpected storm? That's the only thing you see. It's so big and so beating that it's calling out for attention. It's calling out for you to look at it. And it seems like no matter where you look, up, down, sideways, frontways, backwards, that it just keeps crashing in on you, keeps coming down upon you. Maybe you're there this morning. I've been there in the last week and a half. I really have. But the Lord's brought me out of it. Stay with me. were noticing this unexpected storm. This storm was a big one. It was a beating one. The ship was full and flooding. It just kept coming. Number three, that leads me to the sailors. I know what you're thinking. Man, I wish he'd preach like this more often. He's already on point three. Notice verse number 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they, the disciples, awake him, say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now there's two things about the sailors here. There's two things about the storm. It was big and beating. Two things about the ship. It was full and flooding. Two things about the sailors. They were scared and they were skeptical. Now stay with me. They were scared here because they thought they were going to die. Fear had taken the place of faith. Now, maybe you're above all this. Maybe you've never gone through anything where you're scared to death, where you're fearful. Maybe you've never gone through something where you know you need to believe God, but instead you're fearing and wondering what's going to happen. These sailors were scared. By the way, this is the mighty disciples we're talking about. This is not some weakling over here. These are the mighty disciples who are scared right here. They're scared. But secondly under this, they're skeptical. That means they're doubting. What did they doubt? Look at verse number 38, the question at the end. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Let me ask you a question. Were they going to perish, yes or no? No. Who knew that? The Lord. The disciples didn't. The only thing they knew is that there was something big going on, beating the daylights out of them, made them full where they feel like they can't take anymore, and it just keeps covering them, and they're scared to death, and they begin to doubt God and His love and concern in their life. This is where they're at. They had witnessed the repeated proofs of His love and concern. Now get this. They had witnessed over and over that He loved them. They had witnessed over and over that He cared for them. They had witnessed over and over that He's powerful and that He's in control of it all. And yet right now, in the present storm, they had forgotten all of that. Let me ask you a question. When do you begin to doubt? When do you begin to get scared? When do you begin to get skeptical? When do you begin to question God? Let me tell you when you do. When a storm's going on in your life. That's what's happening to the disciples. So let me bring us back up to speed. We're noticing three out of the four things so far. Now my message is getting ready to begin. That's not all introduction, okay? I really am going to point four here. But we've noticed an unexpected storm. The Lord had told these disciples, get on the ship, we're going to the other side. The Lord told them to do it. They had a command of Jesus Christ. They were obeying the Lord. They got on ship. They didn't question Him. They got on board and started over. But when they got in the middle of the sea, there was an unexpected storm. It was big. It started beating upon them. It made the ship full, and it was flooding it. It just kept covering it, and it made the disciples scared for their life and skeptical towards the Lord's concern. Are you with me? Now, if you're not, I'm going to start all over again. You're with me, right? That brings us to my fourth point, which is really the main point. And that is, we see the Savior. Now we see this in verses 38 and following. Notice, and He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. They awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey Him. Now I see several things about the Savior. Now keep in mind the storm, the ship, and the sailors. But now we turn our attention to the Savior Himself, and there's several things that come out about Him. First of all, under it, we see His presence is on board. In verse number 38, the Bible says He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. What was full and flooding? The ship. But who was on board that ship? Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you something, that when we see that He is on board, even though the boat was full, and everywhere they looked, they saw water. His presence was on that same ship, friends. And he may have seemed unconcerned, but when they came to him, he responded to their call, even though they questioned him and doubted him. They were questioning him, they were doubting him, and yet he still responded to their call. May I say this to you? This makes all the difference in the world. What I mean by that is this. Everybody has storms. Everybody does. They come in different sizes and different packages. But everybody has storms. But having him on board, you're going to be just fine. You're going to make it. I'm telling you, the ship with Christ on board may be beaten, but it cannot and will not sink. Somebody say amen right there. It may be beaten. It may be flooding. It may be full. But it will not sink. It's not going down. It's impossible. I'm telling you, we see his presence. Number two, we notice his power. Now, we see his power brought out in verse number 39. What did he do? The Bible says he arose, he rebuked the wind. And he said unto the sea, now the last I checked, I didn't know water had ears. But they perk up and listen when their Creator's talking. He rebuked the wind. And the Bible says he spoke, he said unto the sea, peace be still. You know what that word means, peace be still? You know what that means? It means be silent, be dumb, be muzzled, be gagged. That's what it means. Look it up. And I'm telling you, by the way, I can't see the Lord getting up and going over and saying, see, peace be still. I don't see that. Now, I know the Bible doesn't tell us how he said it, but can't you just see him with his authority walk up and look at that sea and rebuke the wind and say, peace, be still, be gagged, be dumb, be muzzled. Be silent. And the Bible says, now listen, normally when a storm like this came up, it took a while for the water to settle down, but not when Jesus spoke. Not when the Lord spoke. When the Lord spoke, it was complete peace at that very moment. I'm telling you, Psalm 89:9, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Psalm 93:4, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Get this, please. He can speak peace to a troubled heart as well as to a troubled sea. I'm telling you, I am not preaching that if you have a storm, he's going to settle your storm. I'm not preaching that. I can't preach that because that's not what the full teaching of the Word of God says. I cannot be an honest preacher and say, if you believe God, he will take your storm away. I'm not preaching. I can't preach that because that's not 100% accurate. He can, but it's up to him, and he always knows best, and he never makes mistakes. Amen. But here's what I can preach. If he can speak peace to a troubled water, he can speak peace to your troubled heart. Now I'm telling you, I've lived this the last week and a half. You say, Jody, you going to tell us about it when I get back? Because I know the Lord wants you to hear about it, but I don't really have time to go into it today, I don't believe. There's too much to cover. May the Lord help with that. Plus, I believe that's what the Lord wants me to do. So, if he wanted me to, I would, but I'm not going to yet. So, you pray for a safe return if you want to hear about that storm, okay? I'm telling you today, no matter what you're going through, what you really need is the power of Jesus to speak peace. Number three, we notice not only his presence, his power, but number three, his problem. We see this in verse number 40. Notice what he said. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now somebody might say, you know, Jody, that's pretty harsh. Because, I mean, granted, this was a big storm. I mean, it was beating the daylights out of the ship. I mean, the ship was full and flooding, and they were scared for the life. I mean, didn't they have a right to be scared? Didn't they have a right to be skeptical? What was his problem here? Why, how in the world could he say, why are you fearful? You know what his problem was? What did he tell them? When you open this passage in verse number 35, what's the last thing he told them right here? Let us pass over unto the other side. He had already told them we're going to the other side. He already told them we're going to be just fine. We're going to make it. But in the middle, when it got big and beating and full and flooding and they got scared, they began to doubt, and he got up and he spoke peace and he said, why are you fearing? Where's your faith? Faith in what? In his word, let us pass over to the other side. This is what he's talking about. His problem was they were doubting his word to them. And I'm telling you, whatever God says in his word, you can take it to the bank. It is going to ride the storms. If he says he's never going to forsake you, he never will forsake you. If he said he's going to take you through it, he'll take you through it. You can ride through the storms on the word of God. Don't create a problem in doubting in the dark what God told you in the light. I'm sure you've heard that before. Then there's a fourth thing here. I know I'm going fast and I'm loading you down today. I know that. I'm trying to get somewhere with this. Fourth thing we notice about the Savior is not only his presence, power, problem, but his praise. Look at verse number 41. When he spoke peace, what happened? And they feared exceedingly. Said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey. Question. Were the disciples during the storm afraid? Were they fearing? Yes. What were they fearing? The storm. But when the Lord spoke and settled, they're not fearing the storm anymore. They're fearing him. In other words, the fear once given to the storm was now given to the Savior. And this storm gave glory to the Son of God. Now, trouble is often the only fire which will burn away the dross that clings to our hearts. Let me say that again. Trouble is often the only fire that'll burn away the dross that clings to our heart. Whether it is the Lord bringing it into our life, or whether it's self-inflicted, or whether it's the devil attacking what God wants us to do, storms come in different packages, but every storm, God can get the glory for it if you handle it right through it. I'll share this story with you. In the book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, I've shared this illustration before, but it's been a long time ago. This illustrates what the Lord's been dealing with me about. Malachi 3, verse 3 says, he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. There was a ladies group who was studying that particular passage. I'm going by memory here. That he shall sit as a refiner of and purifier of silver. And they began to wonder, what does that mean? What's it mean to sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver? So one of them said, well, I know where a shop is where there is a refiner of silver that works there. I'm going to go watch him work and then ask him some questions, and I'll try to find out what the Lord's teaching us here, okay? So she went to this shop, and she was watching this refiner of silver do his job. And she saw him stick the silver in and keep his eye glued on it, and then at a certain time, he'd pull the silver out of the fire. So she decided to start asking some questions. Now keep in mind, Malachi 3:3 says, he, God, shall sit as a refiner of silver and a purifier of silver. So she began to ask this particular refiner of silver, and she asked questions like this: can you explain to me the process? What is it that you do with the silver as a refiner and purifier of it? Here's what that man said. You ready for this? He said, first of all, I take the silver and I stick it in the flame. But he said, there's never a moment that my eyes are not glued on it. Never a moment. My eyes are constantly watching the silver and the flame. And he said, there's a precise moment when I know it's time to take it out. If I leave it in too long, it'll ruin it. If I take it out too soon, it'll ruin it. There is a specific time that I know by looking at it in the fire when it's time to take it out. And she said, when's that time? He said, as I'm looking at that silver in the fire, he said, I know it's time to remove it when I can see my own reflection in it. Maybe it just bypassed you. Whoop! He's saying, I know it was time to take it out when I see myself in it. Question. You in the fire? Is it a big one? Is it beating up against you? Does it make you feel full and it's still coming down and flooding against you? You scared? You beginning to get skeptical and doubt? My question is this, is he on board? Now, if he's not, you got problems. But if he's on board, friends, you have his power. And he can speak peace. Don't give him a problem and doubt what he's told you in his word. And understand that at the end of that storm, he wants to get praise. And could it be that somebody's sitting here saying, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody cares what I'm going through. Nobody understands what I'm going through. May I say this to you? There may not be another human being that knows, and there may not be another human being that cares. I doubt that, but there may not be one. But I know somebody who's watching you the whole way through. He's never one time taken his eye off you. He knows when you're in the fire. He knows when you're in the flame. And could it be that he has stuck you there and he's looking for himself? Could it be that he's waiting to see his own reflection? I don't know what God's teaching you and saying to you right now. But I know this, before he ever told the disciples to get on board, he already knew that storm was coming. He already knew it. And he let it come anyway. And folks, he knows what you're going through too. He knows. And he cares. And he loves you. Will you trust him? I heard a song called "The Potter Knows the Clay." How much pressure it can take. How many times around the wheel until it's yielded to his will. He's planned a great design, but it'll take some fire and time. And the reason you're going to be okay is because the potter knows the clay. God loves you. You say, I'm hurting. I can't take it. I'm beaten down. I'm full and flooding. What can I do? Make sure he's on board. Make sure you're saved. Know the Lord is your Savior. And if you know he's on board in your life, whether you understand it or not, it may seem like it's going to topsize, but it won't, because it's impossible. The Lord is the answer to it all. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I ask you, what is it that you're going through today? In a crowd this size, there's no doubt in my mind that there are big beating storms going on all over the place, making you full and flooding, making you scared and skeptical. And I tell you, he sits as a refiner of silver. He has his eye on you. And he wants to see himself. May the Lord help us with this. Amen. Honestly. And unapologetically. expected storm. May the Lord add His blessing. Let's pray together. Father, we love You today. Thank You for Your goodness. Help us to serve You. Help us to please You. Help us to obey You. Help us to know that in an unexpected storm that is big and beating and making our ship full and flooding and causing fear and doubt, help us to know that the answer is still the same. Go to You. And in Your humanity, You fell asleep, but You never sleep. You're waiting on Your children to come. Help us to trust You through it. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I ask You a couple of questions, maybe two or three or whatever. Is Jesus on board? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you say, Jody, I don't think so. I don't hope so. I know that I am saved. I know that Jesus is on board in my life. He has saved me. I'm not relying on baptism, my good works, or anything else. I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. I'm relying on Christ to get me to heaven. And you say, I'm glad. I know I'm a Christian. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Isn't it a great thing to be able to raise your hand to that? Is there one today say, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that? May I say to you, and thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. Is there one today say, Jody, that's me? If I'd be honest with God watching me, I cannot say I know for sure that He's on board. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm lost, or maybe you're doubting, whatever the case may be, and you say, Jody, I understand that the only answer to life's storms is the presence of Jesus Christ. That's it. And I don't have assurance that He's in my life, that He's in my heart. And you say, pray for me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I promise you that. But if that's you and you say, pray for me, Jody, I need to be sure I'm saved. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand, be an honest person? You say, Jody, pray for me. I need to make sure I'm a Christian. I want to know that Jesus is on board on my ship. I want to know that I'm saved. I don't know that right now, but I'd like to know it. Anybody at all, raise your hand. Put it right back down. Anybody at all like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. And right now, I have an unexpected storm going on in my life. We're not asking what it is. I've not even told you what mine is. I told you I've got so much to go over today. And that is true, but the main reason I'm waiting is because I know the Lord wants me to wait until I get home to share this story with you. Hope you understand that. Have you say, Jody, right now, I'm talking about right now, maybe this week or, in other words, you are going through an unexpected storm right now. If that's you, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Be honest. Be an honest person. Oh, look at all them hands. You got your hand raised. I want you to lower it, but I want you to listen to me closely. Listen to me closely. What is the Lord speaking to you today? Remember, these disciples were in obedience to God when this storm came. Now, if there's somebody listening to me today and you're not right with God, God could be using that storm to draw you to Himself, you understand? But if you are right with God and the storm has hit you, He's still doing the same thing. He's still drawing you to Himself. He's showing you that no matter what you go through, no matter how big it is, no matter how much it beats you and fills you up and floods you and all this, He can still speak peace. He can still help you. Are you going to respond? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help people to respond. May Thy will be done. Speak to hearts. Save souls. Change lives. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, if you raise your hand, come on, talk to God about it. Come to Him and ask Him to help you through this unexpected storm. You need to come join the church. You've been saved. You know that for sure, but you want to join this church, you come. We'll help you with that. Brother Gary sings. You come on. Come on now.
Simply trusting every day.
Come on, you say, I'm going through an unexpected storm. Come on, talk to God about it. This is it. Come on, talk to the Lord about it.
My faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Talk to him.
Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting him while life shall last, trusting him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
They're playing through soft. If you're standing, you can look this way. I want you to pray with us that the Lord will give us a great meeting overseas. We're trusting the Lord to save many, many people. Only He can do that. And I trust that you'll be praying about that. This is Xavier Jackson here, who rode bus number 11. And Xavier, you're coming today and you're accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that correct? So you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and you meant it. You want to go to heaven when you die, correct? Wonderful. He's up here saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Somebody's training.
Isn't that good? We're so happy for you. You know what that means? That means you're going to walk on a street of transparent gold some glorious day. You're going to see Jesus. We're so glad you're riding that bus. Amen. You stay on it, okay? And the Lord wants to use you as a missionary now. He wants you to get some of your friends in here and let us tell them about Jesus, okay? That'd be a good thing. How many of you happy for him? Say a big amen. Can't you imagine whenever a bus child comes in here and sees all of our faces, how that must terrify him? You know? We're proud of you, young man. God bless you. Amen. We're getting some information right here. I'm telling you, all this will make sense when I get home. Amen, Brother Steve? It'll all make sense. Just how the Lord has orchestrated this whole thing. I'm praising him today. I really am. He's been good to me. He's been good to you, Pastor. And I guarantee if he can be good to me, he can be good to you too. Amen. Wait on just a moment here, okay? I'm doing good. It's just 12:03.
Start over again.
Amen. Brother Gary said start over. Have you all for that? Would you raise your hand? Not a single hand was raised. All of you need to hit the altar, you know? Just kidding with you. This is Miss Wilson, if you wouldn't mind to stand. You can stand with her there if you want to do that. God bless you. So glad both of you are here. I understand Brother Gary visited with you, and I'm sorry, you know, I'm kidding with you. She is coming today. She wants to join our church. And we'll talk to you further about this, you know, about how to do that. It's probably going to be by baptism and things like that, okay? We'll go ahead and vote on you now that we'll accept you into the membership of our church. And then Brother Gary, while I'm gone, if you want to talk to her about baptism and those kind of things, we're glad you're here and appreciate you coming. And get in here and help us, you know what I mean? Help us reach this world for Jesus Christ. And, precious couple here. Amen. Amen. What's the motion that we have that we receive her into the membership of our church? It's probably going to be by baptism. We'll find this out later. But whether it's by baptism or by statement or by letter, either one, we're just voting to accept her into the membership of our church. Could I get a motion on that, if you don't mind? Brother Gallion, Brother Hayes, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. There it is. Wonderful. Tonight, very important message. Very important message. And I trust you'll be here for it. Pray for the John Sevier Chapel today at 4:30. Hope many of you will come by to this precious couple, the Wilsons here, and let them know you're praying for them. If you're going to pray for them, don't lie to them and all that. And be much in prayer for this trip. And if I don't see you tonight, you pray for us. And God willing, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you have a visitor's card, please take it out through the breezeway. Drop it off. We've got a special gift for you.